Welcome to Blind Tag, the wrestling show for people who don't watch wrestling. As always, I am your co-host, Ron Del Villano.
And as always, I am your co-host, Matt Raddick.
Oh, we have breaking news coming in.
Oh my gosh.
It seems that there's been an announcement. WWE superstar and friend of the show, John Cena, has announced that he will be returning to host the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards.
Wow, breaking news indeed. The people are shocked. The kids are excited.
Stoked. John Cena seems stoked.
There's slime everywhere.
That's
all I really know about the Kids' Choice Awards. There's a lot of green stuff.
John Cena announced today that he will be returning to host the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards. Mm-hmm. He will also be voicing a character on the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles TV show on Nickelodeon.
Genuinely did not catch that.
He will be hosting a game show called Keep It Spotless, also on Nickelodeon.
What?
Did you watch the announcement video?
No, of course not.
It was 15 seconds, and he announced all three of these things.
That's fine. I got that time. I'm a busy man.
Yeah, so John Cena, 2018 Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards, 2017, maybe? The kids are choosing things that were good last year, right?
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I mean, the award show is taking place in 2018, so I think it's the 2018, but it's probably honoring stuff from the previous year.
Right, the 2017 Academy Awards take place in 2018, right? Or do they just call it like the
75th annual or whatever bullshit.
John Cena also in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles playing a new villain, I believe.
A new villain, interesting.
I don't know if it's a villain.
We're finally getting the John Cena heel turn that we've always been clamoring for.
Exactly. This is what I've been waiting for. And he'll be hosting a kids game show called Keep It Spotless. And I tried looking into Keep It Spotless and I could not find a summary, an About Me page. For what Keep It Spotless is. So what, Matt Raddick, do you believe is the premise of Keep It Spotless?
Keep It Spotless. I think that it's just going to be, it's a game show. They said it's a game show, right?
It's a game show,
okay, cool. So that was not me just pulling that one out of my ass. It's a game show in which John Cena, in a sort of, continuation of his heel turn, locks two children into one house, kind of split down the middle.
Okay, tread lightly.
Almost a sort of like House of Horrors kind of situation. And the walls, they're just covered in slime and in gack. And the only way that they can get out is by using a variety of cleaning products in order to clean up the walls, clean up the surfaces.
So you think the game show is basically just one big advertisement for like
a bunch of Nickelodeon products? Yeah, it's sort of a collaboration between Nickelodeon and like the Clorox company, advertising their different cleaning products.
I think that this show is probably going to be a bunch of kids enter the ring, whatever that may be, maybe like a laser tag arena where there's different layers and stuff, and they all have white t-shirts on.
Okay.
And John Cena is chasing them with a gack hose or the slime hose.
A slime can.
And they need to keep it clean from John Cena.
It's sort of like Splatoon, but the only shooter is John Cena, and he's just chasing these children around an amusement park of sorts.
Or just
a ring, I guess. Whatever works for you. I like the idea of it being an amusement park. Wow, that sounds... I think either of those would be a great idea. It'd be interesting to see which one of us is right, because it can certainly only be one of the two.
What can this show possibly be? Keep It Spotless. Like, the point of most Nickelodeon game shows, do they even exist anymore? But I'm thinking, like, Figure It Out or, like, Double Dare, stuff like that. The point is that there's lots of gack and lots of slime, and, like, you're running through it.
Right, yeah. I think, like the
If the premise is that you're trying to be clean and not, it's very un-Nickelodeon.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, Nickelodeon is sort of a mess-based sort of media company, a mess-based, programming network. Everything they do is about messes. They have a whole award show based on just slime and celebs.
My serious guess is that it's going to be a show like Figure It Out, where it's just a regular game show for kids, but if you get something wrong, you get dirty.
And so John Cena is going to be like, point at the camera, wink, keep it spotless.
Right, exactly. And so, like, if you answer all the questions correctly, you're keeping it spotless.
Keep it spotless.
You're keeping it 100.
He'll do a little wink. There'll be like a little twinkle. Be sort of
like a CGI twinkle.
Like a CGI twinkle. They'll like do a smash zoom into his face and just go like a keep it spotless. Do you think he will be John Cena on the show, or will he be like Chet Cheddarfield or something like that? Bring back his character from Southpaw Regional Wrestling.
Do you think that Keep It Spotless will be the new Rusev Day?
Interesting. I can only hope it will catch on just as well. I just Googled Keep It Spotless, and there's a Banksy piece called Keep It Spotless.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff that is called Keep It Spotless. Yeah,
I just think that it's interesting that Nickelodeon is getting into such, like, you know,
subversive,
subversive, you know,
right,
anarchist, rebellious territory.
Well, I mean, that seems like John Cena.
Yeah, totally, absolutely. That's totally his,
his character. Watching his announcement video, I was just like, man, John Cena is the most wholesome dude on the fucking planet.
He really is.
He just seemed excited to be announcing, I'm going to be back at the Kids' Choice Awards. I'm going to be on this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles animated show.
Yep.
I'm going to be on this game show too. Like, come hang out. I'm John Cena. It's Nickelodeon. We're going crazy.
It's really interesting because, like, the next movie that he's in, so he's just in Ferdinand.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So kid-friendly.
I know where you're going.
The next movie he's coming out with is this movie called Blockers, which I'm seeing tons of ads for now, which I'm assuming means it's coming out soon, which means I'm assuming that means I'm going to be forced to watch this movie soon.
I think I'm going to be forced to watch it.
I think it's more of like my brain is going to force me to like
the cultural
move
force
my body into the theater and,
right,
and
yeah,
absorb this film. I think we watched the trailer for this a while ago, and
we
both
did.
Were like, this looks kind of good.
I know. I was ashamed to admit how much I laughed at the trailer.
Yeah. The whole, from what I've gathered, the premise is that it is the blockers, the sort of unspoken word in front of that is cock, as in cock blockers.
Excuse me?
Is it cock? It's another word for a man's penis. Really, anyone's penis. A penis. Anyway, the whole premise is that John Cena is a parent, and he and some other parents are trying to prevent their children from having sex by cock-blocking them.
But even in this, even in John Cena being in this adult-oriented show, he...
Still wholesome.
Yeah, he still plays the wholesome character.
Still
trying to
keep it on the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting. He's really developing a brand here.
I like it.
I like it, too. I'm very interested to see... I mean, there's so much up in the air about John Cena's future in general. What his
sure.
future endeavors are going to be, what he's doing with WWE.
That's just life. He's a human person.
Well, true. I mean, that's debatable. But he's doing a lot of things, and not a lot of them involve wrestling. Like, now he's got this Kids' Choice Awards thing, which is the thing he's done many times. He's on an animated show now. He's on a game show now. That's a lot of, like, time commitments. He's in this Blockers movie.
He's on
Transformers is coming up soon.
Crappy game show, right? The reality show? What is that? We've talked about this.
American Grit.
American Grit, thing. Yeah.
I don't know if they're doing another season of that, but...
he wasn't it.
Maybe. He wasn't that. He's a busy man, and meanwhile, he's still entered in the Royal Rumble, and I feel like anytime he's in the Royal Rumble, you gotta be like, well, maybe John Cena's gonna win this thing. I still think, at some point, and sometime relatively soon, he's gotta beat the record, Ric Flair's championship record.
Of victories?
Yeah.
Tell me about this record.
So right now, Ric Flair and John Cena are tied for the most world championship reigns of any WWE superstar of all time. They're both at 16, and John Cena tied Ric Flair... earlier this year, at a pay-per-view, I can't remember which one. It was whatever his like last championship run was.
Okay.
Oh, was it when he did? Oh, okay. So I remember we were thinking he was going to beat Jinder at SummerSlam, because didn't he face Jinder at SummerSlam? I don't know. I don't remember when any of this stuff
I don't
happened.
Remember. This is bad.
But they're currently tied at 16. I know that much.
Okay. But winning the Royal Rumble doesn't give you a title, right?
It gives you
a title shot.
But, I mean, I've been sort of in the back of my mind scheming about, like, when is he going to get number 17? Because I think that they are going to give it to him. And, like, he hasn't, like, quit WWE yet. And so it's, like, clearly they still have some storylines left for him. And so I think that has got to be one of them that they're planning for eventually. And, I mean, there's a part of me that was like, maybe that's what they're going to do this year. But, I mean, it doesn't really make sense. There's not really a place for him on the card, like, looking at the way things are stacking up right now. But yeah, I don't know. If he just, like, goes into doing movies and stuff full time, like, I feel like he's got to ride this momentum as long as he can. Is he ever going to make it back to do his championship thing? Who knows?
He will. He will.
He'll find it.
Let's be serious.
You know what? The world finds a way. Love finds a way. Something finds a way. There's an expression. Something.
It's love finds
love
a way.
Love finds a way. There it is.
It's Cena finds
Slime
a way.
Slime finds a way. Gak finds a way. I was very curious to see what some of the Kids' Choice Award categories are.
I meant to look this up, too. Yeah, should we vote on them?
First of all, I would just like to point out that the Wikipedia page for the Kids' Choice Award is formatted, I would say, horribly. It's very hard to tell what's what around here. But it's mostly just sort of like standard things. Favorite movie actor, favorite movie actress, Same for TV. Favorite music group, which frankly, if it doesn't go to Brockhampton, what are these awards even trying to say?
Who even is that?
Who even is Brockhampton?
Yeah.
They're the self-defined, like, next boy band.
Brockhampton?
Brockhampton. They're
sounds like an 80s action star.
I read an article about them, and it changed my life.
Holy God, are you talking... So when you said this page was poorly formatted, are you talking about the awards block of just red section. And green color? Yes. Holy shit.
It's also just frustrating because the...
It's also got a scroll. Oh my God, there's so much data here.
It's been going since 1988, and you have to scroll all the way through everything else in order to get to it. Favorite cartoon has been an award every year since 1988, though. Look at that. Look at that.
Wow.
Anyway, Brockhampton. To now turn the page over to our Brockhampton fan cast. Brockhampton is a self-defined boy band. They're a, like, hip-hop collective that, like, it's a bunch of, like early 20s, late teens guys that all live in, like, a house together in L.A., and they all just, like, collaborate on everything and make a bunch of music. Like, there's, like, producers that are in this band. There are, like, rappers that are in this band. There's, like...
It's a lot of guys.
There's like videographers and like filmmakers and photographers and stuff like that. The other thing that's really, really cool is like they are all like a lot of them are very, very openly queer. And like they are all about like trying to basically own the idea of being. And they're also like a lot of people of color. And they're like really trying to own the idea of being a boy band, even though like that like they don't look like One Direction and they don't like present themselves like One Direction or anything like that, but they're like, we are a boy band, we are a band of boys, like that's what we want to be. It's they're really, really
I've got a list of members here and I can't tell which names are real mm-hmm. and which aren't, but
like which are like stage names versus which are, yeah, are actual
a
names.
Lot of them are funny. There's one that's Bareface.
Mm.
Guessing that's a stage name.
I think that's a stage name.
But one of them is Merlin Wood.
Mm. And that could go either way.
Right. Still a funny name.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's real. Dom McLennan.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds
mm-hmm.
like a fake name.
But could be real.
But it sounds like a name that you're using when you're trying to sneak into like a the Delta Sky Miles Club at the airport.
That's good.
Matt Champion
and Kevin Abstract, I think, really take the cake.
I don't know. Matt Champion is great, though.
That's my new name, Matt Champion. Hi, I'm Matt Champion.
Hi, I'm Dom McLennan.
Anyway, Brockhampton is great, and everybody should listen to them. They're great. They're the best band.
So you think they're going to win the Kids' Choice Award for number one in fake names?
Number one in fake names. Best fake names. The most slime names. Slime time. Slime time? Slime...
There's some comedy there. There's some real comedy in Slime Time.
I was going to try and make a reference to a hip-hop album, but I can't remember what the hip-hop album is, so I'm just going
to... You could have made a reference to WWE Superstar Tag Team Crime Time.
We don't need to talk about Crime Time. I don't think that anybody needs to talk about that. There is an award for Best Hashtag Squad at the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards. That's a new award from last year. So,
do you have the nominees?
No, I don't think they've announced the nominees yet. Either that or I just don't care enough to look.
So it's like, one of the two. Who is that, like celebrity squads? Like it either has to be like Taylor Swift's...
No, I think it's like, what is the best police force in the country? Like what is the best, what is the best squad? Which state has the best, which city has the best SWAT team, the best squad? Or maybe it's sort of a competition between all the different like branches of the military to see who can assemble the best squad. God. I don't know.
I think it's going to go to like Seth Rogen and James Franco, right?
For being the best squad.
For being squad.
Squad goals.
Right. Like it has to be, right?
Goals. Something like that. I don't know.
What is even, what is that? It doesn't matter.
Let me try and find the article for the 2017 Kids' Choice
Please Awards. Don't. Let's talk about anything else.
I just want to see who the best hashtag squad is. Favorite musical group is Fifth Harmony, so respect. Favorite movie last year was Ghostbusters.
Very good. It was a good movie.
Sort of a subversive pick from the Kids' Choice Awards.
Name one other good movie that came out in 2017.
Captain America, Civil War.
That was a pretty good movie.
Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Yeah, that was also pretty
good.
Didn't
like that movie that much.
You didn't
personally.
Like that? It was a good movie, though.
You know... It was a good movie, don't get me wrong, but I didn't agree with it. This is the most preposterous choice. This is the most preposterous thing. The winner of hashtag best squad, best hashtag squad was Finding Dory.
What?
Ellen DeGeneres, Albert Brooks, Hayden Rollins, Ed O'Neill, Caitlin Olson, Ty Burrell, Diane Keaton, and Eugene Levy. Come on down. Hashtag squad of the year.
A bunch of olds won the hashtag squad of the year.
The other nominees. So I think that...
It's just ensemble cast. Is that what it is?
Yeah. I think if we're to translate this out of sort of the kids speak, and put this into sort of human speak in English, it's just like, what is the best ensemble cast? Because the other nominees were Captain America Civil War, Ghostbusters, Rogue One, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, which, like, I mean, they really should have put Seamus on the nominee list. It's pretty rude of them not to include him. And X-Men Apocalypse.
How did it not go to, like, Captain America or Ghostbusters?
I have no idea.
Full of stars that are relevant somewhat to children these days.
I mean, they are a pretty good squad. I mean, it's Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr., Scarlett Johansson, Sebastian Stan, Anthony Mackie, Don Cheadle, Jeremy Renner, Chadwick Boseman, Paul Bettany, and Elizabeth Olsen. I mean, come on. I mean, Ghostbusters, Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Kate McKinnon, and Leslie Jones!
I don't know what's worse, just the fact that this exists and that it went to Finding Dory, or the fact that you are reading off lists of actors' names from a Wikipedia page
about the 2017 Kids' Choice Awards. Hey, quick question for you. Who do you think were the favorite frenemies from the 2017 Kids' Choice Awards?
I don't know, like R2 and C-3PO?
No, they're actual friends, which I think is sort of a disagreement. They weren't really a big part of the new Star Wars flick, though.
I don't remember anything that happened in 2017. I've already blocked it out of... Was it America and the fucking presidential...
The winner was Jennifer Goodwin and Jason Bateman in Zootopia for playing Officer Judy Hobbs and Nicholas P. Nick Wilde.
All right, that's fair.
That's fine. They were actually pretty good.
Hashtag frenemies.
One of the other nominees was Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill for Batman v Superman, though.
Was it like all men in the media versus all women? Is that
just sort of men and women, men in general, women general? Favorite butt kicker, Chris Evans, Captain America, finally got his due. Finally got his award. I can keep going. I got a whole grid of choices I can make here.
Hey, you're editing this episode.
Congratulations to me. Oh, best favorite movie actress, two nominees from Ghostbusters, Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy. Oh, nice. Did you see the female Ghostbusters, the all-female Ghostbusters reboot?
Yeah, we just talked about it. I really liked it.
I didn't see it. I know you mentioned it.
It's a good movie. I have it. I have it digitally. We can watch it. I do too. After we're done recording this.
Do you want to just call it?
Yes. Actually, yes.
Thank you for listening to Blind Tag. We are going to go watch Ghostbusters.
You know what's fucked up?
What's that?
In the new year, I'm trying to improve, do better at the things that I'm doing. It's going pretty well so far. I started taking notes, better notes for things to talk about while we're recording this stupid piece of shit show. And it's been 25 minutes of recording. Not all of it is usable audio, so don't worry, person
when your
listening.
Time code doesn't match up.
Yeah. 25 minutes of audio, and we've used one of my notes about John Cena being on the Kids' Choice Award.
You mean Ghostbusters wasn't on your list?
What happened in wrestling
this
week?
Well, as I was trying to say earlier, we're well on the road. We're well on the road to the Royal Rumble, which means that we're well on the road to WrestleMania. And, you know, things are shaping up. It's going to be an interesting Royal Rumble. Wouldn't you say, Ron?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, everybody is still kind of coming out of the woodworks and saying, hey, I'll be there. But it's like, well, you're Samoa Joe. Like, no kidding, you're going to be there. You're one of the biggest guys in wrestling right now.
Samoa Joe, not going to be there.
Is he not? What happened?
He got injured again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel, poor Samoa Joe.
I know. I feel really, really bad. Like,
what'd you do?
I don't know what God he pissed off or something like that. But yeah, he just like, he can't stay healthy. It's a real shame.
What happened this time?
I don't actually know. Apparently, it was something in the match on Monday that he had against he just kicked somebody's ass. It was some jobber. Rhino, maybe? Who cares? Anyway.
I don't remember.
He hurt himself somehow in that match. After the match, he declared that he was going to be in the Royal Rumble. He also won the fan vote to be a participant in the Mixed Match Challenge. And then Kurt Angle, had to, tweet out something that says, unfortunately, Samoa Joe will not be participating in the Mixed Match Challenge, and he will not be participating in the Royal Rumble. I want to find the exact tweet. There was a part of me that was like, is this a work? But I don't I don't think it is. I think it is. I think it is legit.
Did is Enzo still sick, or did he actually injure his leg?
I wanted to talk about this. I don't know. I think it's real. It his seemed leg injury? Very real to me.
Yeah.
The whole thing. I mean, he very really got his face busted open this week.
Yeah. But I wanted to talk about that because that was really interesting.
It was very disturbing. It was graphic. I've learned a lot lately, and I've learned in this new year that I don't want to see blood in professional wrestling.
Hey, now you understand where I'm coming from.
Okay, so I ended up watching part of Wrestle Kingdom 12.
Explain what that is.
To get off of the...
We didn't explain it last week. We mentioned it. We didn't say what it was.
Wrestle Kingdom 12, Wrestle Kingdom, is basically, as I understand it, and as an enormous asterisk and caveat to this, I am a New Japan Pro Wrestling novice. Don't know much about it. I've asked Hank a lot of questions. I've asked the internet a lot of questions. But as I understand it, Wrestle Kingdom is essentially the WrestleMania of New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's the biggest event of the year. It's where most of their championships are defended. It's also notoriously where some of the best matches in the whole world of professional wrestling happen. And by all accounts, it did not let down. The only match that I watched from Wrestle Kingdom 12 so far has been Chris Jericho versus Kenny Omega.
How was it?
It was pretty fantastic.
I'm kind of interested in seeing that because I've heard that it's pretty good.
Yeah, I think everybody should watch it because I think it's really interesting.
Oh, sure.
One of my biggest observations about the whole thing was just the presentation of New Japan versus WWE, and that like I really need to like watch two matches like back to back to see how much this is true. But I thought of there's a are you familiar with the video series Every Frame of Painting?
I'm familiar with it. I haven't watched it, so everybody's gonna go right over my head.
It's fantastic. It's this guy that does these video essays that are just about different like film topics and like sort of explaining different concepts and things like that. One of the things he did a video about was how in how Jackie Chan action movies are very different than it was really just about how Jackie Chan is great, but it was specifically about how his action movies are very different than typical American action movies. And I remember one of the things he compared it to was Taken with Liam Neeson. And the way that Americans typically cut action films is they cut on action. So basically, you know, a punch lands and immediately they cut. Whereas in a Jackie Chan movie, they just keep the cameras wide and they roll through the whole thing. So these are actual trained martial artists that are doing really, really cool martial arts stunts.
Okay.
And you see it. Basically, Americans filmmaking is trying to hide the fact that the action is not actually that cool and make it look as cool as possible by adding as much action as possible.
Sure.
Similarly, WWE does this a lot. They've gotten a little bit better about it, but when I first started getting back into wrestling, which would have been roughly 2010, I would say, probably more like... Yeah, about 2010.
Okay.
Point being,
they
would do this thing where when, like, you know how, like, a lot of times guys will lock up and they'll be punching, they'll, like, be trading punches and stuff like that? Every time, like, a punch would hit, they would, like, rack zoom in. So the camera would, like, zoom in, like, while people are punching. And it was the most, like, disorienting and distracting thing.
That sounds like a nightmare.
It's truly awful. Their camera work has gotten better in the past couple of years, I would say. Especially when they did the brand split, they started trying to do some different and new and interesting things using more crane shots, more dolly shots. It was very cool. But I felt like New Japan cuts a lot less. And it's just like they keep it wide and they just like let the action happen. Which is weird for a fake sport, but is also kind of cool because it makes it seem more legitimate.
First of all, don't use the F word. It's inappropriate.
Sure, sorry. Scripted sport.
I have watched one or two New Japan matches or shows. And I feel like I noticed the same thing. Like it seems like there's definitely less of a budget.
Yeah.
But it also sort of works in its favor because you're seeing more of the action. There's less dramatic angles and stuff like that. It's just like, here is the ring. Here's what's happening in the ring. And you're basically getting shots from different sides of the ring, but not necessarily like close-up of people's faces and things like that during the action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I think that this match was notably a little bit different because more of what I was going to say is that it's a no holds barred match. So that means that there's a ton of stuff going on outside the ring, which like requires a different thing. But you know, if the action is going to be contained within the ring, then like to your point, you can basically just like set up cameras on every side of the ring. One of the coolest things about it was the first shot of the match was they just had this like ridiculously far away camera doing a long shot of Jericho and Omega as they like locked up and started trading punches, and then they just, like, snap zoomed into it. But it was just, like, the fact that it was, like, so far away, like, you really got the sense.
Hmm.
One thing that's interesting about New Japan is they keep the lights down in the crowd, so you don't see the crowd at all.
Yeah.
Very much unlike a WWE event. And so you see this, basically, like, this bright ring in the center of a darkened arena, and then you see this camera just, like, zoom through it and go, like, right into the action. And it was, like, a really, really cool moment for that. It was a really, really cool shot. But I think that that sort of, like, set off the whole sort of vibe of it, of just, like, we're gonna, like, keep the cameras closed and, like, watch what happens and stuff like that, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think so.
It was really, really cool. The other thing that I didn't like so much is that New Japan is a lot more open to using blood.
Yeah, yes.
And the other thing was that, by all accounts, there's a word for it, and I'm totally blanking on it, but they like, purposely made someone bleed. It was not, like, someone bled and they just, like, didn't do anything about it. Like, Kenny Omega got a razor blade and cut his head open to, like, get color for the match.
Sure, yeah.
Which is the thing.
I think it's called blading.
Yes, that's the word I was looking for. They're apparently fine with that. It was a thing that WWE used to do a lot, but have since stopped doing. And boy howdy, did I learn that that is not a thing that I need in my life anymore.
To clarify, he didn't pull out a razor in the middle of the match and cut his head open.
Yes.
He did it before, covered it with makeup so that when he got hit in the head, it looks like his head busts open.
So,
right?
My understanding of it is...
Well, I know that's how they do it sometimes. I didn't watch this match. I just wanted to make it clear that it's not... You didn't watch a man pull a razor out and cut his own face open.
He didn't, like, look Jericho in the eyes and just start cutting his forehead open as a sort of intimidation tactic. As I understand it, and I think this happens a lot, is, like, some guy will, like, fall to the floor, and then, like, the referee will go to, like, check on them, quote-unquote check on them, and they'll, like, slip a razor blade into their hand, and then while they're, like, rubbing their head, and they're like, oh, God,
oh,
it
God,
hurts,
really?
Like, cut their head open. Yeah. That's how I understand it happens a lot of the time as well. And a lot of times what they'll do is the you know, heel or whoever is not down on the ground will, like, showboat around and, like, talk about how good they are to kind of, like, draw the you know, focus of the crowd away. What I think was going on in this match was that, so it was a no disqualification match, you know, no holds barred. And so there's chairs and stuff like that that were being used. And one of the things that they did was Jericho set up a chair in the ring corner and, like, kind of propped it up between the ropes so that he could throw Omega into it repeatedly. And was, like, kept driving his head into the chair.
Okay.
And so I think what they were trying to do is they were trying to bust him open hard way, which is basically when you hit someone so hard that they actually bust open.
Oh,
and
God.
Sometimes they do it on purpose to try and just, like, get color that way. I think they were repeatedly trying to do that, and then it wasn't working. So then Omega bled. So basically what happened is, like, Omega would hit the chair, he would fall to the ground, and you would see him, like, holding his head and, like, writhing around on the ground, and, like, the camera cut away from him, but, like, you could kind of see that it sometimes looked like he was sort of, like, checking, like, am I bleeding, am I not?
Right, yeah.
And then it's
like... Has it happened yet? Can I please stop doing this part?
Right, and it was, like, I mean, it was, like, a 25-minute match. This probably took up at least 5 minutes, 7 minutes of the whole match.
Oh, geez.
Like, they just, like, kept throwing him into the chair, he would go down, Jericho would showboat around and stuff like that, and then finally he got color and, you know, started bleeding, and then the match continued from there. Yeah, it was not an experience that I felt like I needed. And I was like, there are people in the world that are like, they like that. I don't know, I guess realism. They think it makes the matches more serious, whatever. I don't know. I don't need it. I was very uncomfortable.
Well, the thing that I noticed watching this Enzo match it was that halfway through, and I don't know if they did this on the Hulu cut. I imagine they did though. And maybe you can tell me if they actually do this during the live show.
I sure can.
About halfway through the YouTube video, it was in black and white.
Oh, interesting. No, they don't do that in the Hulu cuts.
Okay.
But they do that on YouTube typically.
And it took me, I watched it a second time because I was like, this is super weird. Like, why does it do this? And then I was like checking the other videos, like they're all in color. And I realized it's because at that cut where it goes black and white, then for the rest of the match, Enzo's face is covered in blood.
Yeah.
And the reason is because they're trying to, like, soft censor it.
Yeah.
And it sort of worked because I didn't...
It's a lot less, like, visceral.
Right. Like, I recognized that there was, like, blood all over Enzo's face.
Yeah.
But, like, mentally, I didn't make the connection of there's blood all over Enzo's face. This is disturbing. That's why, like, it's in black and white.
What's on his face?
Right. Like, you know what I mean? There was, like, this weird, this, like, cognitive dissonance where I knew what was happening, but I also wasn't, like,
you weren't, like,
very
reacting
affected
to it how
by
you,
it.
Like, normally would. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, there's, I think there's like science to that of like humans have like a visceral reaction to seeing blood as a sort of way of like a, you know, like a pain response and like, I don't know, like a fight or flight kind of thing.
Yeah. I just thought it was really interesting. And it actually reminded me of in 1993, a video game released on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System called Mortal Kombat.
I'm familiar with this game franchise.
It was initially an arcade game with blood.
Yes.
Your human-like figures and you're fighting. And there is blood in the arcade version. In the Super Nintendo version, there is sweat. And it's the same blood, except it's green.
Okay.
It also released on the Sega Genesis.
Are you sure it wasn't slime?
Right, yeah, yeah.
It was sort of co-promotion with Nickelodeon.
They were trying to keep it spotless.
Yeah, right.
On the Sega Genesis version, there is a code that you can actually use to unlock the red color blood rather than the green sweat.
I've heard pretty well of this.
They also changed the names of the fatalities so that they're called finishing moves on the Super Nintendo version.
I see.
So that now, you weren't that necessarily when they started
doing
them.
Was the text still like finish him at the end of like when you were going to be able to do a fatality?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. So that's like always been the thing, even though they were finishers technically.
I think it still said finish him.
Okay. Well, anyway.
I don't remember. But yeah, that's where my mind immediately went to when I realized what was going on in this Enzo match is that they're doing this thing where if you change the color, if you don't indicate that it's blood, then you can still keep your PG rating or your teen video game rating.
Yeah.
I think it's still rated like mature, but...
Right, anyway. Right. I mean, I think it's a very smart decision, and I mean, I give props to WWE for doing that, because I think especially when you're, like, they do this whenever they're, like, posting this kind of stuff on social media. They don't change it for the Hulu feed, but they do it for YouTube, and they do it for any, like, pictures they post on, like, Instagram and stuff.
They don't
do
it live, though.
They don't do it live, no.
Okay.
That would be bizarre if, like, in the middle of a live television show, they just, like, slam the black and white button.
I mean, I feel like they could.
I think it's possible.
But I'm surprised that they don't do it on the Hulu version, because my other thought was... When Cesaro busted his mouth open, there was blood everywhere.
Yeah.
But that was during a pay-per-view.
Right.
And so that's technically adult content because it's special content that you're paying for. And so it doesn't necessarily... I don't know. Do the pay-per-views stick to the TV PG ratings or are those like unrated?
I don't think that they do. I think it's technically unrated. And I mean, I think that like the logic makes sense because in theory... Anything that is on cable or that is on Hulu or that is on the WWE Network is behind a theoretical paywall. You have to like pay to get access to those. So I think the thinking is that like parents can then police that stuff for their kids. And like, I mean, it's going to be very challenging for a kid to get access to WWE Network without their parents knowing about it. Unless, I don't know, they've got an older friend that has an account or something like that. That just seems weird.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
So I think that that's the thing. But like with YouTube, like... Kids are all over YouTube. Kids love YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
And they can have access to anything. Nothing is behind, like, sort of, like, walls or anything like that. There's a lot of really inappropriate content on YouTube, and YouTube is, like, actually trying to deal with a lot of that stuff, like, notably with the whole Logan Paul situation.
Well,
but
how is YouTube dealing with it?
Well, they are being... I think they're coming to a point of reckoning in which they are realizing that they need to deal with it. There's been a lot of press.
Yeah, but they get so much money.
They do, yeah. And, I think that is, like, there is stuff on YouTube that is just like straight up like abusive content and is like some of it is just like weirdly like subversive and like psychologically damaging stuff. Like there's been a lot of studies that have been done about it and like those creators are allowed to run advertising on their content and then they make money from it. And like there's been a number of accounts that have been like shut down recently and like there have been certain groups that are like trying to get a lot of other stuff shut down. BuzzFeed did a whole expose on this whole thing. And it's like, they're forcing to like come to a reckoning with that. All that aside, I think that the WWE is choosing to do the right thing here by like you said, soft censoring their content where it is going to be really accessible by young people and impressionable people and things like that. And I mean, frankly, people that are like, I don't know, probably still believe in kayfabe and stuff like that and like want to believe that Enzo is going to be okay or whatever, even though he's a heel. Kind of. But the point that we're getting to here is that I think it is real, but I don't know.
We do not know the status of Enzo's injury.
We do not know the status of Enzo's injury. They might have said something about it on 205 Live, but you know we're not really.
Who watches that?
We're not very professional journalists here or anything like that. But yeah, I mean the leg injury looked really serious. He like immediately looked like he was like banging the ground.
And he was saying not now.
Yeah, exactly. Which to me was like, I'm in the middle of a championship run. We're leading up to WrestleMania. I cannot get injured right now. I very much felt for him in that moment.
Or he's very good at kayfabe. I also felt bad for him, but I also thought maybe he's just very good at kayfabe.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Here's the, like, I was all in on
it. Gotta be good at something.
Well, I was all in on it until they did the backstage segment with him and Naya. And at that point, I was like, maybe this is a work. Because, like,
right, yeah.
I feel like it's pretty crappy to, like, when someone is in that moment of being like, not now. I'm having a sort of crisis right now. To shove a camera in their face and, like, force them to act seems like a pretty cruel thing to do. And it also seems like a weird thing to kind of write on the fly of be like, oh, Naya's going to come comfort. Like, I feel like they would have had to have that blocked out in their, you know, run of show for the day. Like, we're going to have a cutscene with Naya right. and Enzo.
Yeah, the fact that the leg injury immediately entered kayfabe, I don't think it's real.
Yeah, that's what gave me some skepticism. So, yeah, I thought that the leg injury looked pretty real. I was pretty terrified. But there was something that was much more terrifying on Raw this week. And that was Braun Strowman with a grappling hook. Braun Strowman found a grappling hook. That's really...
How do you feel about this?
I mean...
Okay, let's... It was a backstage scene. It must have been pre-recorded, right?
Trained professional, you could see that there was a clear moment where they cut... It was weird because it was, like, partially live, but then they cut to the pre-recorded segment in the middle of it. It was interesting.
So, basically, Kane and Brock Lesnar... got beat up by Braun Strowman backstage.
Yeah. Well, so Brock Lesnar cut a promo. Well, Paul Heyman cut a promo.
Yeah.
Then Kane came out to beat up Brock Lesnar. The fight spewed backstage. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Braun Strowman comes running in and takes the both of them out. He threw Brock Lesnar across the room. And then a road case fell on top of him.
Yeah, that looked real.
Which I don't think was supposed to happen. That looked like it was a real ouchie.
Yeah, it fell right on his back,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
Looked rough.
Then he picked up a road case and slammed that onto Kane. That seemed like it was supposed to happen. Everything seemed hunky-dory there. And then he just kind of is, like, rummaging around, looking all wild-eyed and crazy and stuff like that. And he reaches into another road case, pulls out some stuff, and then... there's a grappling hook.
Pulls out a grappling hook, like a metal Batman grappling hook tied to a rope. He tosses it up.
Many questions.
Onto, like, the frame of the stage, I guess. Like, what even...
It was like they called it a truss. It was a truss.
Like scaffolding, sort of.
And something he just pulls holds it, up the stage.
Yeah. Pulls it down and comes crashing down onto the lifeless bodies of Brock Lesnar and Kane.
Yeah.
And, everybody freaks out, and Braun's kind of like,
gotta
go.
Watches on in horror. And then, Braun just kind of like roars and then like walks away.
So this was so absurd, so bafflingly
very absurd.
And I've been seeing a lot of people on the internet saying, like, this is great. This is like what Braun Strowman's all about. Being the monster among men, he's too strong. He can do anything. And he's like on a murderous rampage, essentially.
He's too strong. I wish that I could make her see.
Stop. I thought this was so dumb.
What?
It was too over the top. This was so over the top that I thought this has to be a reference to something. And I was trying to find like a previous wrestler who did this or like somebody who pushed like a stage frame or scaffolding onto another wrestler. Like what was this calling back to? And it was nothing. It was just a fucking absurd thing that they had Braun Strowman do. He tosses the grappling hook. It doesn't even look like the grappling hook goes to the right place. Yeah, it looks like a fishing wire catches it in the air. So it looks like it goes as high as it's supposed to go.
Actually the biggest part that I think that they pre-taped is there was like, there's no way he's getting this in one.
Oh yeah. 'Cause he got it in one. And oh my God, it's absurd.
So I disagree with you wholeheartedly. And my first question...
Well, that's because you were scared.
Well, yes. I was so blinded by my terror that I could only be enraptured by this moment. My biggest question for you is, I don't understand how this is any less realistic than Braun Strowman flipping over an ambulance. To me, this is, frankly, more realistic. I think, like... an actual human man could get the leverage to pull down a stage truss if they had a grappling hook.
It's not the absurdity of the strength. It's the absurdity of the grappling hook.
Okay.
I like the idea of Braun Strowman.
Chekhov's grappling hook.
Right. I like the idea of Braun Strowman being strong enough to flip a truck. I like the idea
Deus
of him.
Ex grappling hook.
I like the idea of Braun being strong enough to walk over to the truss and push it over on them.
Okay, sure.
But the idea that he reached into a box, found a metal grappling hook attached to a rope that was just the right length. And in one in one try, he tossed it over the truss, hooked it, and pulled it down.
Yeah.
That was, it was very silly.
It's a it's a thin plot, I'll admit.
Yeah, it was very Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah. I sort of have a I have a connection to a man on the inside, and I'm going to try and do some sleuthing this weekend to see if I can figure out why on earth there's a grappling hook, and see if it's like sort of a typical part of the WWE stage.
Why would that be there? Yeah, what would the stage crew have?
I mean, maybe
used
that's how they pull the
trusses
down at the end of the day.
Yeah, they just every
they bring in a team of sort of like medieval you know, castle stormers, and they all, you know, wind up their grappling hooks and pull down the truss down at the end of the day.
I do have a YouTube comment here.
Okay.
That you shared with me.
I did share this with you. I was actually pulling this up myself.
It was about this video. Here, I'll read it, because you said you were scared.
Now, make sure you get into character for this.
I'm not going to get into character, but I'm going to read it as it's punctuated.
Okay.
Here we go. Okay, this comment might be taken down, but I know WWE isn't fake, just scripted, but I'm seriously scared for my life and Brock's and Kane's. Strowman is so strong, he can pull something 10 times bigger and most likely heavier than him down. I'm 11. I've never been scared until now. It's just scary how strong some people are.
That is from the Next Generation Gamer.
The Next Generation Gamer.
Generation is spelled wrong on YouTube, not to sort of dox them. Yeah, I found this, and in this moment, I've never felt more seen, is really how I felt about it. I can relate to this young person.
Have you been scared until now? Was this your first fear?
I've never been scared I've probably been scared of other things. I'm a very, very... I have a weak constitution.
But this is now your greatest
fear. This is now my greatest fear, is Brock Lesnar... Not Brock Lesnar. Braun Strowman with a grappling hook, destroying Brock Lesnar and Kane.
It was Braun Strowman with the grappling hook backstage.
Backstage, yeah. It'd have been great if he had, like, a hook shot, like, from Zelda.
Yeah.
Just, like,
oh, yeah.
Shot that up.
No, he had the Wind Waker grappling hook.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was actually a thing. Yeah, I mean, I will agree with you. The grappling hook was very absurd. I will level with you there, but I still thought it was pretty darn cool. It's another one of those, like, it's like a stunt spectacular. It's why he's the best wrestler last year.
But this is also, again, a pre-filmed thing.
Well, yeah. But that's just movie magic. Movie magic, Ron. Television magic.
So Braun Strowman's the scariest guy to 11-year-olds. Yeah. Not to change the subject too hard, but I do want to talk about my greatest fear.
What is that?
It happened on Monday. It came true. Some backstory.
Hey, this is a safe space, Ron. We're here for you.
For some backstory, about a year ago, I closed the closet door, the closet that is directly behind you right now, Matt.
Is there something behind me, Ron?
My closet. I closed the closet door, and I live in an older building, and there are nice old doorknobs on the doors, and the mechanism broke after I closed the closet door. And I couldn't get it open by turning the doorknob. So I had to, use like a card and slip it in the crack and
Were
get it open.
Inside the closet?
I don't know.
Okay.
I was outside. This happened about a year ago.
Okay.
Monday comes around.
This Monday?
This past Monday.
A year later.
A year later, okay. About, I think. I was in the bathroom.
A year to the date.
I was in the bathroom.
Okay.
I was getting ready to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I go to leave the bathroom.
Yes.
And the mechanism in the doorknob of the bathroom has broken, and I am now trapped in the bathroom.
Was the bathroom light on?
The bathroom light was on, yes.
Okay, good. Well, that's good. At least you had some light.
I was literally fucking locked in my own bathroom.
You didn't have a credit card on you, naturally, because you were in the bathroom.
Right. I didn't even have my phone on me because I was in the bathroom. My partner was home. I yelled for her. She took the doorknob off from the outside, but it is a very old door, so when you take the doorknob off, it doesn't change the mechanism inside.
God.
I'm trying to be more positive in 2018. I lost my
2018
cool.
So far has trapped you in a bathroom.
I lost my cool a little bit.
Sure.
I didn't do anything horrible. I didn't break down the bathroom door.
Sure. I mean...
Reflecting back, what I eventually did was I had her slide a coat hanger underneath the bathroom door, and I fashioned it in such a way that I was able to unlatch the bathroom from the inside. Then I took the doorknob apart, and I called my landlord the next morning, and I said, last night I got locked in the bathroom. I need you to send somebody out today to put a new doorknob on my bathroom, which they did, and it no longer has a lock on it, which I also don't appreciate.
Sometimes you need some private time in the bathroom.
But I've been trying to be more positive in 2018.
What's the positive
here? And the worst thing, could you imagine how fucking horrible that would be if my partner wasn't here or if I lived by myself?
Yeah, that sounds horrible.
There is no other way to get out of that bathroom.
I was really hoping that you were going to say that you climbed out of your bathroom window.
No, because that'd be literally impossible.
Well, if you try hard. Try to be more positive, Ron. I bet you could think of a way to get out that window.
I would have found a way out because I'm very crafty.
Mm, yes.
Not out through that window, though, because my actual fear is heights.
Oh, okay.
Man, what a miserable Monday, though.
Yeah,
what
dude,
a miserable
sucks.
Pre-bed thing that happened.
That sucks. That sucks
here
very
I
much.
Am. I survived to tell the tale.
You know, we're all glad that you're here, Ron. That truly does sound very awful.
So, yes, I freed myself from my toilet prison, and now I'm here to tell the tale on Blind Tag, the wrestling show for people who aren't trapped in bathrooms.
You survived that challenge.
I survived the challenge of my bathroom. I've survived the bathroom puzzle challenge.
And, well, you know
the
who
escape
else?
Room.
It's kind of like the keep it, I already forgot the catchphrase. Keep it spotless?
Keep it spotless, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the John Cena escape room for the kids. But you know who else has a challenge in front of them?
Who?
It's a certain number of WWE superstars who I can't think of the proper number yet. But it's the Mix Max Challenge. The Mix Max Challenge is coming up.
That's difficult to say.
That
can be our new vocal warm-up.
Yeah,
Mixed Match Challenge. And what is this, Matt?
The Mix Match Challenge. We talked about this briefly, I believe, at the end of 2017, a mere few weeks ago.
That was like a year ago.
I know, right? Basically, it's this new program that WWE is hosting on Facebook. Like, all of the content will be streamed on Facebook Watch or something like that. And it is a tournament in which superstars from Raw and SmackDown will compete against each other. But the trick is that they are all tag teams of men and women, the sort of mixed match.
It's a mixed gender match.
Exactly. So over the past couple of weeks, they've been announcing what the different pairings are going to be. They've been announcing what the teams are. And today, they released the final bracket for what the tournament is going to look like. And so, yeah, I wanted to talk about that with you a little bit. I'm kind of excited for this. I think there's some really fun teams that are put together.
Yeah, there are 12 teams here.
12 teams. 12 teams? Yeah, 12 teams. That's how it works. That's how math works.
Six times two.
Six times two. And they're going to be competing over the next 12 weeks. 12 teams, 12 weeks.
We did some other math.
Let me tell you.
We figured you out, WWE.
There was some pretty intense sleuthing going on at Blind Tag HQ. 12 weeks from today, which, when you think of it, well, okay, not 12 weeks from today. In roughly 12 weeks, it will be WrestleMania, which means that the championship, the conclusion of the Mixed Match Challenge, is going to take place at WrestleMania.
It'll take place on Facebook during WrestleMania or before.
Ooh, interesting. Or, like, yeah, maybe, like, the...
Because if they're trying to do, if they're trying to promote like Facebook Watch or whatever, and like you'd want to have the big title match on that too, like the concluding match.
I think to me, part of that says though that I think whoever is going to win this tournament is not going to be a big player in WrestleMania.
Ooh,
which is really really interesting because there's a lot of really important people in here.
Yeah, it's got everybody.
I feel like this is all just going to be. I don't want to just read through the names because I feel like that's just going to wash immediately over everybody.
Oh,
and
sure.
No one's going to remember it. But some of the teams that like I think are going to have a big role at WrestleMania are Braun Strowman and Alexa Bliss, who are teamed up together, which really just the perfect team.
Like, we know both of them have matches at... Not at WrestleMania. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Royal Rumble.
Yeah, right. And I think that this is, you know, doesn't play into that. But
they've
got
to have matches at WrestleMania.
Absolutely. Though. I mean, with everything that they've done with Braun Strowman this year, his big WrestleMania moment is not going to be competing in the Mixed Match Challenge.
Right.
Similarly, with Alexa Bliss, like the Women's Royal Rumble is for a championship match at WrestleMania. She is the champion. And we can only assume that she will be champion until WrestleMania at this point. And so they're not going to, again, I don't think they're going to make her work like two matches during WrestleMania.
So you mentioned that Samoa Joe was supposed to be part of this.
Yes.
Do you know who he was supposed to be teamed up with?
I don't. I think it was either Elias. He was supposed to take the place of either Elias or Goldust. So he was supposed to be teamed up with Bayley or Alicia Fox. I think it was Bayley, but I can't say for sure. Samoa Joe was supposed to be in this tournament because the other, a big thing with this whole tournament is that they're trying to do a lot of like fan interaction and fan engagement. So they had picked five of the six men, for Raw and for SmackDown, and then there was a fan vote for the final man to be on the teams. And for the SmackDown side of things, it was which member of the New Day do you want to represent you? And for Raw, it was just like which Raw male superstar do you want participating in the tournament? So the New Day person that was voted in was none other than Big E, who is partnered up with Carmella, which is really cool. Unfortunately, their first round matchup is against The Miz and Asuka, and I think that they have a good shot of going all the way in this thing.
The Miz and Asuka?
Yeah. But my new theory about like connection to WrestleMania makes me think maybe they don't, because I think that The Miz is also going to have a big role at WrestleMania, and I think Asuka very well could. I don't know if she will, but I think she could.
I think that's where Asuka is going to become the women's champion.
You think at WrestleMania?
I do, yeah.
Interesting. So I've been thinking a lot about who's going to win the Royal Rumble, and I think it's too early to say for sure for me to make a solid prediction, but I've been thinking about, like, especially with this first ever women's Royal Rumble, I think the person that they choose to win that is a big deal, and I mean, that person is, like, cemented in history. It's got to be someone that they, I think, really want to...
Oh,
like,
it's got to be Charlotte, doesn't it?
Charlotte's not in it. She's a champion.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. I mean, so here's the thing, is I think that they're going to want to give the win to someone that is a WWE person, you know, sure, not someone that like made a name in another brand or anything like that, which I think means that I don't think Asuka will win it. I mean, I think about Carmella winning the Money in the Bank, even though that was under terrible circumstances, blah, blah, blah. We know that. But Carmella is a WWE made person. She didn't make her name anywhere else. She started in NXT. She worked her way up. She's become a person on WWE. So I think that was a very logical choice for her to win it. I mean, also, it just like fit with her character at the time. But I'm hesitant. A lot of people are thinking that Asuka is going to win the Royal Rumble. A lot of people are thinking that Ronda Rousey is going to win the Royal Rumble. And
she confirmed in it?
No, but there's just like rumors of flying. They're flying all over the place. Apparently, Triple H skipped SmackDown on Tuesday so he could have dinner with Ronda Rousey, and like that was a whole big news thing.
Nice,
very nice. But yeah, I think that makes me hesitant. I mean, unfortunately, I think that line of thinking makes me think that Ronda Rousey is actually more likely to win than Asuka, just because like they would be like, oh, this is a moment and this is going to get us a lot of eyeballs because like Ronda Rousey's doing a thing. But I don't think that they want to give it to Asuka because she made such a name for herself in Japan, and I don't think that they're going to want to like give it to her because she's not a WWE made person.
What about like Bayley?
I could see a Bayley. I could really see Sasha Banks. I think Banks would be a good choice. I mean, if Alexa Bliss was in it, I think she would be a good pick too. I think Nia Jax has a really good shot as well because she's also, you know, very much a WWE made person.
I feel like Charlotte is that person though.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But again, she's the champion, so I don't see her. I don't think that she's going to be in it, and I don't see her winning it. I don't think that they have announced whether or not she's going to have a match at the Royal Rumble yet, her or Alexa Bliss. I don't know. That's another story. Any of these teams jump out at you, Ron, as real contenders in the Mixed Match Challenge, or any that you are just excited to see their dynamic?
I do like The Miz and Asuka.
I think it's a great team.
I think it's a great team. I don't think it's particularly interesting, but I think Bobby Roode and Charlotte Flair is a well-matched team, yeah, a well-paired team.
Very, very good pairing. Bobby wooed, if you will.
You asked me to come up with potential team names for these pairings.
I did.
And for these two, Roode and Flair, I just thought of Team Beautiful, because that's what both of these people are. They sort of are Team Glorious, Team Gorgeous. Absolutely.
Gorgeous, glorious, genetically superior, you might say. Lots of things could be said about them. Lots of robes to be worn. I'm excited to see their matching robes. I'm sure they're going to do some matching robes.
The obvious, like, interesting dynamic is Braun Strowman and Alexa Bliss.
Absolutely,
The biggest person and the smallest.
There's just so much potential.
There's so much space between the two
of them. There's so much space between them. Braun Strowman tweeted something, I think it was today or recently, but someone did, like, a fan art drawing of Braun Strowman and Alexa Bliss, and it involved Alexa Bliss climbing up a ladder to, like, get in Braun Strowman's face, and it was very, like, cartoony and cute. It was very nice. He retweeted it and said something like, I'll take care of you, little one, or something like that.
Oh, God.
And he said, like, hashtag little one, and it was just like,
oh,
it was such a weird juxtaposition between the whole grappling hook thing. But it was also, I just thought it was really nice. Like, he's just like a big, strong teddy bear, and he's just going to, like, help out his friend Alexa. I thought it was nice.
I'm really excited for the part in the match where they're not doing so well, but the opposing woman gets tagged in, and he just grabs Alexa and throws her across the ring at the at their opponent.
I was going to say, I really want to see like a fastball special.
Yes, exactly.
Where that he just like he like tags in Alexa by just like throwing her full force at someone and like taking them out. It'll be delightful.
I'm really excited for the steampunk ska matching of Sami Zayn and Becky Lynch. They just got the most redheaded people to.
Yeah, I mean, I think Team Ginger is sort of Team the Ginger, obvious, yeah. obvious choice here. They had one of the best. They did all these like really fun little videos for like teammate reveals, and I feel like Becky and Sammy's was my favorite of them because what they did is they had a camera following around Becky Lynch while she was signing autographs outside, and Sami Zayn was just in it. He had a wig and like a big fake beard on or something like that, and he goes up and. She seemed to not have any idea what was going on, but he like handed her a book and he was like, Becky Lynch, that's you, right? And she's like, yeah, that's me. You want me to sign it? He's like, no, I don't want an autograph. And he rips off the beard and the wig and goes, I want a partner.
Oh my God.
It was delightful.
How do you feel about Goldust and Alicia Fox?
You know, I think that could be a really, really fun team because like they're both pretty weird.
I feel like they're going to be out in round one.
I think that they are as well. I think that Goldust and Fox are going to lose in round one, and I think Zayn and Lynch are definitely going to lose in round one because I think Strowman and Bliss is too fun not to enjoy, and I think Uso and Naomi will be a fun thing to keep going. They're married. It's fun.
They're
also people that don't really have a lot of like big storyline stuff going on.
They don't have
a lot
going on. Yeah, they need something.
Why not have this the Big Max Challenge?
Do you have a team name for Goldust and Alicia Fox?
Because
the best I could come up with was Yif Dust.
I don't think I can really top that. best you can come up with. That is pure gold, my friend. Well.
Gold dust. Yeah.
Yif Dust. That's very good.
Thank you.
That is, they will hereby only be known as Yif Dust on this podcast.
Some of my other ones, Big E and Carmelo, that was just Big C, so that's much weaker.
Yeah, no, that's not very good. You've had better.
Baylor and Banks could just be abs.
Abs. Abs Club. There was like I think they were calling themselves, like Banks Club or like Legit Club or something like that. Or,
Legit
Balor. I don't know. Something like that. There's room to work there. Shinsuke and Natalya's team up is mostly just based on their mutual love for cats. So that was fun. Their whole like reveal video was just Shinsuke, like looking all coy and then just going meow. It was very funny.
What?
It was.
Okay, I need to watch.
Yeah,
these,
it was.
I guess.
It was the most bizarre of them. Like, there definitely seemed to be like these things seem to be like pretty thrown together.
Sure.
And I think trying to improv with someone that doesn't speak the same language as you is a little challenging. So both Natalya and The Miz in their respective reveal videos definitely seemed to be like kind of figuring it out. The Miz was like really worked through it. But I mean, he's also one of the best promos in WWE. Natalya is not. And
no.
So she kind of more stumbled through it and then ended up just being like, oh, let me take a selfie. The two of them took a selfie together. It was very,
okay.
very bizarre. Yeah.
Good job, Natalya.
Good job.
Nice try, Natty.
You know, I just really hope that Rusev and Lana have a good run too because they're great. And I mean, I just love Rusev. And Rusev has nothing really going on right now either. Neither does Lana, that's for sure.
I can't believe they didn't just do Rusev and Aiden English in a wig.
They should have just put Breezango in it.
Oh, actually, that would have
been amazing. That would have really messed with the whole, you know, non-intergender matches or whatever, though.
Yeah.
It would have just pushed, it would have forced WWE into trying to be, like, a little bit more progressive in a really sort of weird way by kind of have someone, I don't know, just wearing a wig. It would have been weird. Yeah, it was probably for the best. You know what else is probably for the best? That we end this goddamn podcast.
Please, 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 please.
Thank you very much for listening. As always, if you'd like to reach out, you can do that with social media, your social media of choice. We are on Twitter. We are on Facebook. You can also just find us online at blindtagcast.com. You can also find links to all of our social channels as well as our email address there. Please drop us a line if you have any comments or feedback on the show. If you have any good team names for the Mixed Match Challenge, we'd love to hear them. send them our way. We also would really appreciate if you could subscribe to us on iTunes and leave a rating and a review there. Helps other people find the show, and we would really appreciate you helping other people find the show. As always, we want to give a shout-out to Small Parks for letting us use their song Restless as our in-and-out music. Really appreciate that. And I think that is going to do it for us this week. My name is Matt Raddick. I have been your face.
My name is Ron Del Villano, and I have been your heel.
Thanks very much for listening, and happy Rusev Day. 'Cause you're falling in love with